This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Soldanela. I am here with my sister from another mother.
Sister.
Marlena Fitzpatrick, the one and only.
Comadre siempre.
Okay. So let's talk about the article. I want to go back in time a little bit because you have been to Puerto Rico, and I want to talk about that and how the article that you wrote for the Huffington Post, how you approached it, admitting that you weren't being neutral, and why did you feel compelled to say that? And then why do you, and how you build that article about helping and who, and let's go through there because we need to talk about Puerto Rico.
We need to talk about Puerto Rico, but we also need to talk about, which is what inspired me to use this in first-person narration, is we have been pushed through media and with the best intent, may I say, to actually help. And that's our nature as a community to, you know, just push forward and go ahead and you do whatever it takes. And while that is a, like I said, the best intent, we also need to pause mm-hmm. and figure out, is first of all, if that's a healthy train of thought. And number two, how and what can I do to best approach this? So my reasoning to use the first person narration is, this is what works for me. This is the process that I utilized. And I also explain in the article, some of these bullet points may be completely obsolete or they may not fit you. I'm just telling you how what worked for me. But ultimately, it is also about figuring out how you best can protect yourself. Because this is the same way that we're pushed to help, because we're a collective. If you are in harm or you put yourself in danger, it becomes a collective problem. For instance, let's get out of Puerto Rico for a second. I have always been very critical, and I know that I'm not alone in this. When people are asked in the middle of a natural disaster, let's say for Sandy or even Harvey, you need to evacuate, you need to leave your area. It happens in Miami too, you know, several times. And people refuse to do that. And I'm going to stay in my home, and I'm going to stay here, and no matter what, and where am I going to go? And then suddenly you need to be rescued, you and your family. Great, you will be. But the problem is that there are other human beings that have to stop taking care of their own families to go rescue you and your family. And if we take into consideration the impact of our actions and how those actions and those decisions actually affect others, the death toll or the injuries toll or the loss toll will be significantly less. So the first thing that I thought with me and my brother, who is a veteran, and my sisters were, how can I help without becoming another mouth to feed and another body in a hospital? That's the first thing we need to think. It sounds selfish, but you are not going there to eat the food that doesn't exist, and the water that doesn't exist either. The first thing I thought was, I'm not going to go drink my mom's water and my mom's food. I need to, if I'm going to do that, I have to bring my own. Also, because there's no water, and it is extremely hot, and there's no electricity, what am I going to pack? What type of clothing should I bring? What type of, you know, life essentials that we take for granted, now I really need to pack. So all of the little minutiae, they were like, oh, you know, don't think about that. Yes, you do need to think about that, because what you're bringing may save your life and the life of others. Or it may take away, not necessarily death, but may get you sick and you don't have medicine. So we need to, in other words, we need to minimize risks and figure out how, you know, how is the best way that we can all help. So let's talk about, for example, donations, which I also address in the article. we are immediately, you know, buying stuff and sending money and and let's do, you know, bank transfers without realizing that that's just numbers in cyberspace unless, you know, banks are open and ATMs are working. There's a great need for cash. And at the time that I went there, there was nothing open. So we can go ahead and raise all the funds that we want, but without anything working, it's going to be hard to actually spend that money. In the macro, then we have all these organizations that are, you know, coming together and doing all these coalitions and trying to raise funds by doing all these concerts and telemarathons. And I'll digress for a second there because we have what the government should be doing. And then it's always, in our industry, it's always us, the artists, the private corporations, private entities that are in the flesh, basically. You know, standing up and saying, oh, no, we have to do something about this. And using our voices for this. And we need to continue that. And we need to be eternally grateful for people that take their time and their voice and try to raise awareness, which our community has done tremendously. And they're doing a great job. Artists, athletes have done so too. And while I was in Puerto Rico, an airplane showed up with all these artists and athletes coming together to do physical work, not just, you know, do a little concert here and there, which is physical work, but I'm talking about delivering food, cleaning up, transporting fuel, all that kind of stuff that our taxes should be doing. You know what I mean? Primarily, I'm not trying to discourage anybody from helping out. But our taxes, you know what I mean, should be used for that, if for anything. We should have people, personal, then government officials moving forward. But that's for a later conversation.
No, well, I mean, it's the default reason why all these other systems of help spring up, you know, because the government, for whatever reasons, and there are many reasons, is not delivering as fast or as efficiently or practically as it should. And that's a reality. Mm-hmm. And so the private sector in its myriad, you know, manifestations from celebrities to people with influence to individuals with a lot of chutzpah, they decide, no, we're going to do stuff and we're going to take it somehow, some way. And so there's that clash.
Right. But one shouldn't cancel the other.
Mm-hmm. No, of course not. All hands on deck.
All hands on deck. And yes, we all should, individuals like myself, like you, like your own family and mine, we should always help. Mm-hmm. It takes a village.
Yeah.
I helped my neighbor go clean up. And I brought an entire suitcase of solar chargers that I ended up handing out to other families. And that's what I did. And each one of us have done something, whether it's water, whether it's cleaning up, whether it's cooking, whether it's actually connecting diesel generators to other houses so their refrigerators work. This adds up. But going back to risks, there are professionals for this. Mm-hmm. And those professionals are government officials that are paid for this, whether it's, okay, there's some private sector. And why are they not doing a good job? So it is us, you know, it is us from grassroots ground up rebuilding. And it is also our industry coming together saying, we're going to keep this in the light and, you know, in the limelight. And we're going to keep on speaking out and we're going to keep on working and we're going to keep on fundraising and we're going to keep on doing what we have to do. And
about the donations. What
donations,
happens then?
Right, because what is it, $50 million for one organization alone? Where's that money going? What is going on? So these exercises, we need to foster this analysis.
Mm-hmm.
Research the organizations that you are, or coalitions that you're donating to, whether it's financially or your time. As a volunteer, there are many people that are going to shelters and feeding others, and that's great, and we should continue to do so. And apparently it's looking like we may be heading to that coalition of I just donated and I don't see how
my
I invested. Yes. We have that problem. It really is. There are videos of children and dogs cleaning up the roads. So if you, out of the kindness of your heart, Puerto Rican or not, people from the world are seeing this, they're going, so I just gave, I don't know, $20, $50 from the kindness of my heart because I'm in solidarity and this is horrible. Why are children and dogs doing the cleanups with, you know, power lines right beside them while there's no power? Really fishy. And I can see how that can be a smoking mirror to the entire planet. Mm. Which brings, you know, climate change is real, despite what other people say. And is granting the question, are we climate change refugees at this point? How many times has this happened? However, that's for another.
What has happened?
Something like Maria. I mean, this is historic. So do we need more of this to occur to then get to that point to do that analysis? I just hope not.
Well, there are other analyses in regards to climate change and how it's affecting the world, right? So beginning with the melting of the polar caps, and that's happening at an accelerated speed. It's becoming very, 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 very dangerous. They forewarned scientists that if that happens and as that is happening, the sea levels are going to rise. And that's a whole different, you know, that's like the younger.
An elevated conversation, right?
In the case of Hurricane Maria, the hurricane came, regardless of climate change, regardless, the hurricane came and took the island, you know, punched it through and through. Such a small piece of mass, but a big piece of mass. It's an entire country that was dislodged. So now you get people that have to move. So that's specific to the hurricane.
Right. And I think the bigger conversation is also the migration and how people are now 58,000 Puerto Ricans in, a month. Mm-hmm. Now they're in Florida, most.
Or New York, Chicago, it's everywhere. I mean, my family's here in New York. They didn't go to Florida.
Right. A lot of people are now moving, but literally moving. I'm closing my home and whatever happens, and I'm going to find, you know, my new life. Mm-hmm. It's not just escaping the wrath of not having your basic life needs of water and electricity. It's a reflection of, is this what I want to live, where I want to live anymore? No. And that's been happening recently. I mean, we were seeing this exodus from Puerto Rico, and Hurricane Maria just made it, just gave it, propelled it to a whole
big demand. Yeah, exacerbated and already.
That people are literally living with the clothes off their back.
I know.
Which brings me my experience going, you know, back to the piece that I wrote in my experience, which I didn't write about this, but I will say it. The moment I landed, first of all, I was in the second flight that was allowed to land, Delta. And the moment I landed, I don't know how best to describe this, but I'm in the comfort of the airplane, if you can call that, you know, comfortable. The captain said, enjoy the air conditioner while you can. And, you know, people bursting into laughter, even though we kind of knew we were managing expectations, right? The getting on that jet bridge alone, that felt like a concrete wall of humidity and heat just smacked you in the face. And I got into that airport, and the first thought was, did I just literally time travel 50 years to a third world country? I mean, it was massive. People were sleeping on the floor for days. There were only two fans, three gates open. people were eating almonds and little packets of nuts, and that was it. There's no water, no electricity. It was dark, 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 dark. The los maleteros, the guys taking care, God bless them, they taking care of, you know, everybody's suitcases, were drenched in sweat, red, 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 red. That I was very concerned, really, because I'm so one of them is gonna have a heat stroke right now. It was just terrible. I went to pick up. It took an hour because they were literally by hand taking suitcases and boxes from the airplane to the carousel for people to go and pick up. And I had three. I brought three massive suitcases full of stuff. And then, of course, going outside and driving through that. You know, my cousin went and picked me up, Jill. And I live in Trujillo Alto, which is a matter of just taking the bridge there and being in El Expreso de Trujillo, and that's it. It's like 15 minutes. It took us like 40 minutes. And I just soaked in the massive devastation. Even the landing was just terrible because you could not see a leaf. Several, no forestation, no nothing. And then I got home. And at home, I saw the debris. The upstairs apartment lost the roof. There's very little water, like a little shred of water. And that was a treasure, like literally a treasure. And my mom had prepared with food. I brought more food, but it was still a mess, 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 mess. But you can see the line of where the flooding happened in the wall, you know. All the doors inside the home were, the wood was just what bloated and destroyed. So that needs to be replaced. So I took them out, and then I immediately knew, okay, this is it. So tomorrow I'm going to wake up very early and we're going to start working. And that's exactly what I did. Little carretilla and took the zinc out, and the guys were making fun of me because I'm literally just by myself taking zinc out and the wood and cleansing, and then it starts raining, which didn't help. But under the rain, you get it done because my mom can't do it alone, right? So it was a good 4 days of mountain water, protein bars. That's all I brought, meal bars for me. And my mom did cook some rice and salchichas, some canned sausage. And I ate that for dinner and just cleansing and cleaning around. I brought my own medication. I brought comfortable clothes for that. I brought my rubber, long, 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 long rubber gloves and boots. And I brought for my mom, too. And protective gear, and I knew that I had to do that because I was there to work. I wasn't there to, you know, just for companionship. She was by herself. And that's what inspired me to write this piece, my own experience in the train of thought, you know, the analysis of the need on a personal basis to actually accomplish the goals that I need. Now, this trip, I'm going back November 16. For this trip, I know that I have to bring the same equipment, even though that I left some of that at home, so it's less. But we have a beach apartment in Guanica that my mother still has not gone to see at all because the roads have been closed, and she can't just drive by herself. So 2 months later, we're going to find out what happened there. So that's why I'm prepared to do exactly what I did in my house in Trujillo Alto, now to do it in Guanica, which is in front of the beach in Manglillo. So I'm expecting real destruction. Let's see what happens. Bees and wasps are a big, big, big problem. Of course, they lost their homes and they're hungry. And so they're getting into homes, into cars, and building their own nests and combs and you know, going after people. Allergic reactions everywhere. And you can really, you can kill someone, a bee.
So what do you recommend people bring?
Okay. You need protective gear, but bring honey. okay? Mm-hmm. Honey does not decompose or anything like that. Honey is one of those foods that are forever. Bring honey. You're going to put it in a little water and outside, very, very far from your windows, from your home, from your car, and plant a little tree with leaves and put that honey there. And it will attract all of these bees and wasps there and get them out of your home. Do not kill them. Unless, well, before they kill you, you don't have any other choice, right? But try to do something simple as that can save your life or someone around you. And, well, the bees' lives too. I think there was a problem that we're there are two things that we need a little bit more of media coverage and more acknowledgement. Reproductive rights and sexuality is an issue. There are women giving birth at home with no water, no electricity. But there is a big, big problem with pregnant ladies that are due now that are giving birth at home. I saw a video of a lady that needed to buy bottles of water and literally the wee-wee pads from dogs so she can contain the blood at home in candles and lanterns. This is not the environment to bring a child for anybody's health, not only for a woman, for the baby, also for anybody involved in assisting her. So we need more written pieces by experts about this and how to help out if in any way, shape, or form if there are any materials needed for in case of emergencies like this. And what can we bring? How can we help out this community of pregnant women that that are due anytime and do not have the equipment to actually give birth at home in a healthy environment, in a hygienic environment, and contain, you know, to protect herself too? There was a death of a lady that, yeah. I don't know if it was related to Hurricane Maria, but one of the things that social media did was a lady lost her life giving birth, and now this child needs milk. So now they were actually soliciting any breastfeeding women to actually donate her milk for this baby. Do you know what I mean? So we need more of this. Is there a bank of maternal milk out there?
Why don't you post the question out there?
Is there any bank of maternal milk out there? Is there anybody out there that they can write a piece and give bullet point advice in how can we help each other, women and men? Doesn't matter. I mean, if it's as simple as saying we need more, you know, milk. We need more utensils for whatever. I'm not a mother, so I don't know. And because I've never been through that experience, I can sit here and say, well, maybe a blanket or something like that. But maybe there's something a little bit more urgent that needs to be very specific.
Well, just overall medical care.
Medical care, right.
Access to medical care is becoming a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Childbirth. And I suspect rural areas. I mean, all of the hospitals are suffering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was like a super bad deployment, strategy. I mean, no strategy. They should have had 68 helicopters ready to fly from the mainland as soon as that hurricane passed.
Like I said, I mean, this government response has been abysmal, and I'm being diplomatic.
Yes, I know.
You know me very well. I left Puerto Rico while literally I was sitting on the plane while Trump was landing. And something I was just going, why on earth? I wish I would have stayed to just witness this incredibly ridiculous, disgusting, insulting PR, you know, special guest appearance. That was what it was. And, you know, let me throw a towel at you. It was tragic and poetic in many ways. Like, I'm throwing you a towel. Here it is. It's made out of paper. Go eat. I mean, what was that all about? And that is reflective of exactly what's going on here is, you know, you're resilient. You are self-sustained. You can
it's
get this
done.
It's
a lot of crock of shit.
It's a lot of crock of shit. Yes, we are resilient, but in the context in which they are acting is they're taking it, they're putting it that against, using it against us. I'm going back. I'm going to help out. I'm going to go to Guanica. So I'm going to the south and in I'm taking all these pictures. You know, I'm going to try to soak in as much of that as of that trip.
Okay.
Right. I will continue to write more pieces in updating that one from this other experience 2 months later.
Yeah.
I would still suggest everybody read that one and, you know, take whatever fits best for you. If you are going today or tomorrow, if you're going this week, say, please freeze the water. There were, I cannot stress that enough. A lot of people are getting the water, which is great. But the problem is they're throwing all the suitcases and those bottles break. And there were so many suitcases full of water. Now, it may not damage everything that is in the suitcase, but that's water loss. And right now, that is the gold mine. So freeze, just break it into little bottles of water, put them in the freezer. I personally wrap them in foil, and you put them back in the suitcase in one, you know, one of this waterproof container. My experience was when I landed that those, most of them frozen, lasted 4 days like that. So I had 4 days of cold water, and none of them broke. If all of them are frozen and you need water right now, all you have to do is put it in front of the sun, and in an hour, you have a bottle of water. But try to save as much as you can. And please also get a solar power inverter. I know it's an expense. They go by between $100 and $150 on Amazon. Most of them come with a flashlight or radio already integrated and two USBs and a plug, a 12-volt plug. If you need to charge your cell phone and a little lamp that is USB powered and then listen to the news, you have it all in one. But make sure that with that you have how to charge that, because that's basically a lithium battery. So most of them come with a little solar panel thing. It takes, you have to be patient. It takes all day under the sun to charge once it's not plugged in, but at least you have something. And also order a USB or a battery powered fan. Bring mosquito nets because you will be bitten everywhere. And there are also, which I'm using, citronella incense to, you know, keep them away. You can do that with your mosquito net. And that would probably keep them at bay, and you're off. So if at least those bases are covered as an outside, you know, your water frozen and your solar powered inverter and your way of, you know, keeping mosquito bites at bay, it's a matter of figuring out what you're going to bring to eat. Some people have gas stoves. My mom has one, so she, you know, she goes and cooks. But if you don't have that luxury, what I did was I got those protein meal bars, a whole bunch of that. I got coconut water, which I also froze, and it has, you know, more nutritional value that you can drink in the morning and in the afternoon. And that was, that helped a lot. Bring your vitamins and please bring your medication. If you have any special needs of medication, just don't go. There is a crisis in the hospitals. And the last thing, remember, these tips are to actually avoid you being a risk, being part of the statistic. If you have any, it can be something as simple as sinuses, please don't go. Sinuses will trigger. It's just, that's the way, because now there's reforestation. If you can bring seeds to plant, pack them and bring them, we need a reforestation plan immediately. Everybody needs to be planting at least one tree in the backyard, if you have one, unless you live in a building. Everybody needs to be planting something, at least one little tree. So that's another thing. If there's an organization out there that is donating trees with already, you know what I mean, please. And so people can go pick them up and plant their tree in the backyard and bring, you know, the little honey for the bees there and start that reforestation process. Particularly if it's a fruit tree, then you will also bring in food to your home. Avocado would be great, wouldn't it? We still have an avocado tree. I was so excited to see it. I'm like, yay! We lost our plantain, and we have plantain, pear, and chironja, and we lost them all. But we're planning to, you know, that's what I'm going to do now.
Plant a seed. That's amazing. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, we need to, please, that's also very important. And plant your seed, and if you can find a tree, plant the tree. Yeah.
We'll end on that note. Plant a seed.
Plant a seed.